Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Just sitting here thinking what an awesome privilege it is to be able to be right now speaking to people around the world. And not only an awesome privilege, but an awesome responsibility. I want to say something about a broadcast coming up tomorrow. Will be a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Today we'll take questions as usual, and tomorrow we'll be taking some questions as well. But I have the opportunity to talk to Beth Malarkey. She's the mother of Alex Malarkey. He was in a car accident about 10 years ago that rendered him a paraplegic. As a result of that accident, there is a story. I shouldn't say paraplegic. It's actually a quadriplegic. But anyway, there's a book that is titled The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. And that is a book allegedly about his story, about his near-death experience. And this was subsequent to 3-year-old Colton Burpo's return from heaven. 6-year-old Alex Malarkey supposedly traveled there in the similar fashion. And therefore, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, which was published by Tyndale House in 2010, is allegedly the story or the true story of Alex's direct experience with angels and demons and yes, with the devil himself. And along the way, he is alleged to have encountered 150 pure white angels with fantastic wings, green demons with long fingernails and hair made of fire, and an earless devil replete with, well, 3 heads, a nasty nose, and moldy teeth. And like Colton Burpo, Alex Malarkey was allegedly permitted to see God as well. But according to Alex's mother, these words are not the words of Alex at all. As she put it in a Facebook message to me, "Hank, my son is being exploited. My son has tried to speak as best he could on the wrongs of this book, but he has been silenced." So after surviving a horrific car accident, after being in a coma for several months, and to this day continuing to struggle with the after effects of brain trauma, it appears that Alex cares more deeply about truth than he cares even about himself. And even though it would seem as though the most expedient thing for him to do would be to promote the published story of what happened to him in his near-death experience, both Alex and his mother are deeply committed to communicating truth instead. In fact, says Beth Malarkey, Alex's name and identity are being used against his wishes. Alex has tried to publicly speak out against the book. He is opposed to it. He knows it to be an error according to his understanding of the Bible. I've had the opportunity to speak to Beth and Alex at length and believe with all my heart that the real story behind the story is not selling in sensationalism with respect to heaven, but faith forged in the fire of adversity. And that story as yet has not been told. And therefore, I'm excited to have both Beth and Alex represented on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So in tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, We will bring Beth Malarkey's words directly to you so you can hear the story from the perspective of a mother and a son who care deeply about truth. And I think this will give you a great insight on near-death experiences, perhaps an insight that you haven't previously considered. It certainly is a different perspective than that which is now being popularized, not only by the movie Heaven is for Real, but by the continuous appearances of Todd and Colton Burpo in the public media, both Christian and secular. This is a story that needs to be told and will be told tomorrow, God willing, right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, it is great to be in a position to take your calls from around the United States and Canada. And so we will go now directly to our phone callers. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered today live, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember that resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. Ben up first in Pompano Beach, Florida. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Hank. Wow, what a great honor it is to speak to you today. And you've really equipped me and my ministry for bringing in folds to Christ, such a gentleman, his ministry. And I've even taken a guy from Origins, from you've helped me with that, right to the Romans Road, and all because of you. So countless of people in heaven are going to be coming up to you like the Ray Bolt song, thanking you.
Mm.
And I'm going to be first in line. But my problem is I feel disqualified for service because I have cherished sin, fornication, and I'm a single Christian male. I don't have a family at risk, but just my conscience, and I'm tore up. I do jail ministry and recovery ministry, and I just can't come clean because people count on me, and I'm heartsick. And I have accountability partners, trying to figure out which one really to confess to, but am I disqualified for service? Am I, because I keep going back to sin, knowing better, so I feel informed and conformed, but now I'm questioning whether I'm truly transformed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a heavy, you know, yes. As you say, Satan sits on my shoulder and whispers in my ear and accuses me. I'm well-versed in the Bible, and the Hebrews verse comes up, and I know that was for the ceremonial laws, and I understand that, but it has wider application, you know, sharper teeth, as you might say. So,
well, Ben, you know, transformation is an ongoing process, and it is very clear by the prologue to the question that your conscience is not seared. And what the Bible does say in this context is something that I think is important to grasp on the level of understanding and understanding. I was just reading an article by my son-in-law, Adam Pelser, who's a professor at the Air Force Academy. And he points out that there's a paradox between to understand and to understand. They are two different things. And what he says about this is one cannot truly understand in the deep way constitutive of wisdom what is good, true, and beautiful unless one loves and thus experiences apt emotions towards what is good, true, and beautiful, and then acts accordingly. So there is an understanding that's cognitive. There's also an understanding that is emotional, that is experiential. And I think that we need to recognize that as human beings, we will continue to fall into sin, but your emotions are not towards that sin. Your emotions are obviously from the prologue to the question that you ask towards that which is good and holy and lovely and righteous and pure. And so you desire, as we all do, to be pleasing to the Lord, and you are, in your words, heartbroken or heartsick about the fact that you fall and fail. But this is the condition of all believers. I think what's going on in Hebrews is someone who has a conscience that is seared. In other words, deliberately keeps on sinning, even though they have a predilection towards evil instead of a predilection towards good. And the knowledge that is being spoken of in this context is a knowledge which is purely that, knowledge. It may even extend to agreement, but it isn't living dependence on Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. And that is a different state than the state that you are experiencing. You trust Jesus Christ, you have a heart to serve Him, and you also have an accountability structure. And I think that within the context that of that accountability structure, you do need to have those that can know not only what is going on, but can pick you up when you fall, can be there as an encouragement to you so that you can be an encouragement to other people as well. And I don't know, Ben, if you've heard me talk about a book that was written by Joe Dallas. It's called The Game Plan, The Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity.
Yes, I've heard you mention it, yes.
You know, it's a book that I really would love to have you digest. And the reason is I asked Joe to write this book. I did an endorsement for this book. I really wanted to get this book into print because it's not, you know, a simplistic approach to a very complex problem, but it's a comprehensive approach to a serious problem. And so this book, I think, will give you all of the parameters that, not as a magic bullet in any sense, but as a strategy for attaining the sexual purity that you desire so that you can indeed love the Lord, not only in terms of the one sense of understanding, but both senses of understanding that I just delineated.
I understand. I guess where my main problem comes in is that, you know, I don't feel like it's falling into sin. And I think most sin is deliberate. We know what we're doing. You know, when we sin, it's a choice. You know, as you say, we have a choice to act or act otherwise. And it just seems like certain night, you know, the weekend comes up, you know, and I'm good through the week, and then one day, you know, each week, and it's been continuing, and I need to break that cycle.
But yeah, and again, just, you're not going to do that alone. I mean, that's what the body, you know, this is the beauty, Ben, of the body of Christ, not just an electronic voice. I feel like we're probably more than just on that relationship. It sounds like you've been listening to my words for a long time and deeply appreciate that relationship, and wish it could be reciprocal in the sense of knowing you on a personal level. But there are people within your sphere of influence, within the body of Christ, that have that role. So when we're born again, we're not born in isolation. We're born within a community of faith. And I think you really have to take that seriously and make use of that particular aspect of the kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, as far as you and I go, yeah, I feel like we've been buddies for a long time, but we just don't share the love of golf. But I say, if you want a good game of golf, just stay at home. You've golfed to zero, so you've got the lowest score. But in any event,
that's rank heresy, by the way.
I appreciate, everything you do, and I regurgitate you by paragraphs. Let me tell you, and it's really helped. And also, you've equipped me to answer folks with gentleness and grace and respect, even to some, you know, homosexual lesbians, you know, on the bus, that I really presented your views, and they took it to heart, and it really felt, you know, hopefully planted a seed. But I feel like, should I still be serving, or should I retract myself, or should I just keep pushing forward?
Well, I think you should keep pushing forward, but I can't give the answers to all those questions, and the reason is I don't know all the details, but I think that's a decision you have to make prayerfully with those people that God has placed in your life as an accountability group. The one thing I can do for you is I will pray for you. In addition to that, I'm going to send this book out. I mean, you don't have to buy it or get it or whatever. I'll just send it out to you. I want to put it in your hands, and hopefully, Ben, it will make a transformational difference.
I love you, brother. Thank you so much.
You got to just hang on so I get the book out to you, and please know that you will be in my prayers, and I'm sure there are a lot of people listening in that will be praying for you as well. And as I said many times on the broadcast, prayer is firing the winning shot. We're going to be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
As you survey the rapidly changing spiritual landscape of America today, here's a question you might ponder. As Christians, will we fight the good fight or continue to sink deeper into the abyss of a new dark age? As the battle for truth continues to intensify, let's remember it's not merely truth that is at stake. It is civilization as we have known it, along with the precious freedoms we enjoy that were won for us at so great a price. Your generous gift today will be a loud and clear signal that you're not on the sidelines merely observing the battle. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI and arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. To stand with us for life and truth, go online to equip.org to make a generous gift. That's equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Have you ever wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but there's just something fundamentally unfair and not terribly bright about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleeding, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that matters. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI and arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change, from a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. to stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI. Have you wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be because we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is now in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but we think there's just something fundamentally unfair about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that makes a difference. 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and as has been well said by you just now, We can stand up to the relentless assaults on truth and life and win for our children and grandchildren a promising future, or we can fail to heed the call to stand together and thus accelerate our nation's descent into a chilling new dark age. And we're praying that many of you will stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. We are making a difference. You can hear it every single day on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But we see it within these walls, not only as a result of what happens on the show, but as a result of what happens through the many outreach ministries of the Christian Research Institute, not the least of which is the Christian Research Journal. And there are so many things to commend the Christian Research Journal. It is an art piece. It is not just information. It is information that is buttressed by presentation. And as such, it is an invaluable resource. A coming up edition of the Christian Research Journal in the very near future, we have some articles on people for the ethical treatment of animals, their perspective, and that is contrasted with the biblical perspective. These two articles are so significant because if you wonder what's going on in the culture wars, we're being told that there's equality between animals and human beings. Now, I am for the ethical treatment of animals, but there's a human exceptionalism that does not allow for animal equality. The articles not only let you know what is going on in the culture, and you saw a little hint of that in the Noah movie, but the articles equip you so that you can have a biblical perspective on animals, which are an incredibly beautiful piece of God's creative handiwork. And as God gives us His love, we too should love animals. We should care about wildlife, pets, treatment, and much, much more. But we should not fall into the abyss of misunderstanding this very salient issue. Because today there are ethicists who are saying that a chimpanzee has more worth than a Down syndrome child. We'll be talking about that and more on future editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let's go back to our phone callers. Next up is David. He's listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the web. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. It's great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
My question was in relation to John the Baptist and his confession in Matthew 3, where when Jesus wants to be baptized, he says, I should be baptized by you. So he obviously recognizes him. And then what kind of confused me was reading on in Matthew and 11, when John is in prison, and he asks his disciples to find out, you know, if Jesus really is the Messiah, if this is really the Messiah. So it almost sounds like later on in prison, he's not too sure about Jesus. And I was just wondering if I'm missing something there, or if there's a reason maybe why he might have said that.
Well, you know, this is a passage that has many different interpreters puzzled, and I'll give you my sense of what's going on, but I want you to know that there are various interpretations of this passage that are extant in the Christian community. But as prologue to answering the question, think about Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he recognizes the full gravity of what he will face, and he asks the Lord if this cup might pass, and then says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Or on the cross in agony, he cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can imagine the emotional anguish, although we know there's no ontological break in the Godhead. So I think that we can look at this passage in much the same way. Here you have John the Baptist, who was the way shower for Jesus, but now he is in prison. And perhaps in some sense, he has an idea of what is going to happen. Maybe he has a sense of his own mortality, although he doesn't know the future. Maybe he has a sense of what might happen with capricious rulers, and what in fact did happen with his own beheading. And you can imagine in that state when you're in prison, even though you know Jesus Christ is the one, you need affirmation. Not only so, but you might need further explanation. Because remember, so many, and even the disciples, when Jesus was about to ascend, wondered if Jesus at this time was going to establish the kingdom. And Jesus had to say, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. And so there are misapprehensions on the part of the disciples, and you can imagine that there may well have been misapprehensions on the part of John as well. How is it possible that the kingdom is going to be established when your follower, someone as close to you as a wayshower, is now facing persecution and all the indignities that one human being can foist upon another? So perhaps what John really wants here is reassurance and further information. And I think, on a personal level, this is my interpretation of the passage, I think that's what's going on here.
I see. Okay. That makes sense. I can understand with that explanation how, especially where John was in prison, he would want that reassurance. And so that does seem to make sense, I guess.
Well, you know, again, there are various interpretations, and I think this is an interpretation that I've come to in the reading of the passage, but I don't hold it with dogmatism. It seems to me that that is what is going on, and that's my take on it. It could very well be in the future, as I study this further, that I'd come up with a different explanation, but this seems the most plausible precisely for the reason that you mentioned. If you start reading Matthew and you get to from Matthew chapter 1 all the way to Matthew chapter 11, it seems like this becomes the only possible explanation within the context of what we're reading in the narrative.
Yes. Okay. I see what you're saying. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Could I ask you one other quick question?
Sure.
I was just non-related, but I was wondering if you knew anything about the historian D'Aubigné and his history of the Reformation. Do you know if that's a good history book, and do you know much about his work?
You know, off the top of my head, I really don't, but I'm certain we could get you some information through the research department.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate talking to you.
I appreciate talking to you as well. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Pauline next. She's listening in El Paso, Texas on KLP. Hi, Pauline.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
I used to listen to Dr. Martin when my husband was on sabbatical in California.
Oh, wow.
I think that while we were there, that's when he passed away.
1989.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have a question about Seventh-day Adventists. They have some very unusual, should I say, interpretations. In Revelation 20, they say that the bottomless pit is the earth.
Well, that's true, they do.
And they also, and I don't understand how they can say that, because the earth is not bottomless.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, the Seventh-day Adventists, I think you mentioned Walter Martin, and I don't remember this exactly, but I do sort of vaguely remember him calling them Armageddon Incorporated. But from their perspective, the millennium is the thousand-year reign of Christ with the saints in heaven between the first and second resurrections. And then during that time, they believe that the wicked are going to be judged, those who have died are going to be judged, and then the earth will be utterly desolate without any inhabitants, but occupied by Satan and his angels alone, so no humanity. And then at its close, Christ and the saints and the holy city are going to descend from heaven to earth, and the unrighteous dead will then be resurrected with Satan and the angels. They're going to surround the city, and then fire from God is going to consume them, cleanse the earth, and then the universe will, at that point, be freed of sin and sinners forever. Now, the systemic problem here is that there is no place in Scripture for these multiple resurrections, nor is there a warrant for taking the millennium in a wooden literal fashion. A thousand, when it is used as a whole number, is invariably used in a metaphorical sense. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God shows loving kindness to a thousand generations, and many more illustrations could be given. So, although Jesus spoke repeatedly of the resurrection of the dead, he did not so much hint at the notion of a thousand-year a semi-golden age, and instead he said, do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the grace will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be eternally condemned. And when Jesus spoke with Martha concerning the resurrection of her brother, he reaffirmed that Lazarus would be resurrected on the last day, not prior to a thousand-year semi-golden age. So there are a lot of misapprehensions, and certainly Seventh-day Adventists have embraced many of those misapprehensions with respect to the millennium and with respect to end times. And I think therein lies the problem. Adventist doctrines, including soul sleep, Sabbatarianism, but I think significantly the seer status of Ellen G. White, have led to all kinds of untoward interpretations of the Word of God. So I think that this is a significant problem with Adventism, particularly traditionalists within Adventism. We're going to be right back in just a few moments. One of the questions coming up has to do with Heaven Is For Real. We'll be talking about that and answering much more in just a few moments.
If you happen to believe that life and truth matter, consider the implications of the following facts. More teenagers and young adults in America die from suicide than from cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. Recent Gallup poll indicates that Americans think the country has lost its moral compass, with some 72% of Americans saying moral values are getting worse. Think virulent atheism, same-sex marriage, the legalization of marijuana, and environmentalism's war on humans, for starters. If you find the growing assaults on life and truth disturbing, why not stand with the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast and become a partner?
simply go online to equip.org and make a gift that really matters. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change, from a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Have you ever wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but there's just something fundamentally unfair and not terribly bright about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that matters. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI in arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the future of our planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change. From a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. To stand with CRI in resisting this rising tide, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Amanda. She's listening in Flushing, Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Hank. You're a new discovery for me. I really enjoy your program.
Well, thank you.
Well, I've got a question. It's probably been asked a million times, but I have recently found the Lord in the past year. I was just baptized 2 weeks ago, and I have been in a relationship for 7 years.
Yes.
And he does not believe at all. Not at all. So it's difficult, to say the least. But I'm wondering what to do. I asked my pastor, and he said he'd rather see us married than living in sin. But I don't know if I want to do that, because it can, you know, it's difficult now. I don't see it getting any better. But at the same time, do I sever it, you know, 100% and say, get out? You know, that doesn't seem nice. I guess I shouldn't say, I don't know how to word that.
Yeah. Well, I get it. Here's the thing, Amanda. You have become a participant in the kingdom. And in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, you are saying, I want to live my life as Christ would have me live my life. Now, as a new believer, you don't know all of what that entails. You may have an idea of what that entails, but as you know more and more about Christ, the picture becomes clearer and clearer. And so it will be with you, just as I am continuing learning about Christ and his precepts, so too you will, and we're never going to exhaust that. So I have not arrived and you're on a starting path of knowing the principles of the kingdom. But let me say that as Jesus Christ is the wisest man who ever lived, he knows what's best for you. And I think you already have a sense of that. Christ would not want you to be unequally yoked. Why? Because if you are, as you alluded to, within the context of a marriage, you're going to be pulling the cart in two different directions. And what happens is the cart gets torn apart. And it creates all kinds of possible confusion for progeny that you will have in the future and so forth. So the whole issue here becomes, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you want to do it his way. Now, that doesn't mean you say, I'm going to kick you out, I'm going to be rude, or anything like that, because Christ did what he did in a way that was with gentleness and with respect. If he didn't, he wouldn't urge us in the inspired word of God through the Apostle Paul to do so as well. So you want to do what you do with gentleness and with respect so that you can reach rather than repel, which is to say, I am now a participant in the kingdom, and because of that, my life must change. And sometimes those changes are hard changes. I mean, you can imagine the early disciples. You think about the first who were baptized after Jesus Christ had died and resurrected from the dead. They were baptized, and as soon as they were baptized, they faced all kinds of hardships, incredible hardships. Some of them were not only persecuted, but killed. And so you're going to imagine yourself facing hardships as well as a follower of Jesus Christ, but that is the cost, and that is the cost that you count as you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because you were not called, Amanda, to be a convert, you were called to be a disciple. A disciple is a learner or a follower of Jesus Christ, and the more you know, the more you want to live within the parameters that he sets forth for you to live within. That makes sense to you?
Yes, it does.
So it's a difficult transition, but I think it's a transition you have already alluded to that you have to make. And that's not only for your good and his good, but for the good of the kingdom.
Right. Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Amanda and for her commitment to you. And Lord, as she faces so many difficult decisions, I pray, Lord, that you would bring people and circumstances into her life to strengthen her, encourage her, so that she might grow in the grace and knowledge of her Savior and Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would give her favor, that you would bring new relationships into her life that are lasting and satisfying. And Lord, also for her boyfriend, I pray that he might come to a true valuation of things. Lord, that you would melt his heart. Lord, thank you so much for this divine appointment and for the prayers that go out to Amanda as she continues to be a participant in the kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Amanda.
Amen. Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Lynn next in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Lynn is listening on CHRB. Hi, Lynn.
Oh, hi. How are you? I really enjoyed that prayer you just prayed, and I'm sure there's many of us that prayed along with it.
Oh, wonderful.
On Amanda's behalf. And I also want to say that I want to thank you for, you know, exposing the truth, not only about ministries, but about people. And, you know, it really helps those of us who listen to really get a good grip on and give us discernment skills to know what is right and wrong. So my question, I actually have a couple of questions about two movies that I know you've talked about, the Heaven Is For Real. And so my first question is, I just found out actually maybe a day and a half ago that T.D. Jakes was the producer. And I know he has a huge following, but I'm just wondering why he would have chosen, you know, because of the controversies and the subjectiveness of that movie, why he would have chosen to produce that. And secondly, the movie Son of God, which I actually did go see, and I was quite shocked at the, and I was wondering if you could comment on that, the role that Mary Magdalene played in that movie. She was, you know, next to Jesus. She was pretty much had many speaking parts, more than the other disciples. And, you know, I was reading in Matthew 28, verse 1, that there were actually two Marys that went to see the, you know, went to see the where Jesus had been laid at the end of the Sabbath. And yet she, on her own, goes there, which was might even have been inappropriate in that day and time. And I'm just wondering why they would have chosen, especially with the controversies about Mary Magdalene in previous books that have been written, why they would have chosen to give her such a huge role.
Yeah, well, interesting. And in obviously, there's a very strong Roman Catholic perspective that is provided through that movie. But there's another thing that I would say in defense of the movie at this point, although I had some real concerns with the movie as well. But in truth, from a biblical perspective, you end up seeing that the role women played in the culture was far different from the role they played within the ministry of Jesus Christ. Within the ministry of Jesus Christ, they became heroes. So they are the first to discover the empty tomb. They were the first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So women in the social structure of first century Judaism were considered little more than chattel, property to be owned by men. They were on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. But in Christ's view, there was complete ontological equality between men and women. So he was very counterculture from this perspective of the role of women. And so are Christians. I mean, you look at what grew up after Jesus Christ. You start reading some of the late Gnostic Gospels, like the Gospel of Thomas, and women are denigrated in a patriarchal society. But you don't find that in the Bible at all. In fact, Paul says that in Christ there's no male or female, slave or free, Jew or Greek. So Paul says there's no distinction from a socioeconomic standpoint, from a genealogical construction, or from gender perspective. We are one in Christ. Now, we may have different roles, and obviously do, but ontologically we have equality. And this, again, was counter-revolutionary. But as to your question with respect to T.D. Jakes, I mean, I'm not surprised at all that he would be involved in producing a movie like this, because he's involved in all kinds of heresy and has been for years. Not only that, but he's been involved in sensationalism and sophistry. He's been involved in give-to-get schemes where he's urging people to give to get. Not for the sake of the kingdom. He says if you give $1,000 and you get $1,000 back from the Lord, you're wasting your time because you just broke even. What you want is a 100-fold increase. And so he's got everybody shouting increase and so forth. So while I can't judge his motives for why he made this movie, I can judge what he says and what he teaches. And again, no real surprise to me that what he teaches is in conflict with what you find in the scripture, and certainly he would be therefore inclined to support things that have little basis in terms of a heavenly perspective. I mean, the whole notion that people have resurrected bodies in the present is distinctly anti-biblical. The time that we receive our resurrected bodies is when Jesus appears a second time. Then those who are absent the body will return to resurrected bodies, and those who are alive will be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So the notion that people already have resurrected bodies, or the notion that God has yellow hair and blue eyes, or even though that's not part of the film, that's something that is being perpetuated by Todd and Colton Burpo in their meetings at $20 a head. This is an abomination from a biblical standpoint, because God does not have physical parts, and to suggest that he does is distinctly unbiblical. By the way, on the web you can find an article that's titled "Heaven is Real, but Heaven is for Real. The movie is really not." And I give 10 reasons why this is distinctly anti-biblical, in contradiction of Scripture. And I think it is a sign of the times that Christians are consuming this and promoting this. Great Christian ministries, even people that I admire in the Christian church, are promoting this movie. And I think it is a very serious affair, because this is about our eternal destiny. It's not a trifling matter. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I mentioned this earlier on in the broadcast. Tomorrow, we'll be taking your calls, but we'll be talking about this very subject. But from a different perspective, we're going to be talking to Beth Malarkey. She has something to say about a book that was a New York Times bestseller, is a New York Times bestseller, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. Turns out that what's in the book and what actually happened are two entirely different things. We'll be talking about that and more on tomorrow's broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change, from a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot,
confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI.